I just want to say this so you can understand the exsanguination of Christ. All his blood, all 6 pints, all 8 pints, all his blood fell and rushed out of his body. They had already beaten him the night before. They had already pierced him in the, they had nailed him to the cross. They already pierced him in the side. And with every drop, it was to say, I got you covered. I cover your sin. I cover your mistake. I cover your lie. I cover your cheat. I cover your deception. It was the blood. Soul saving, redeeming, washing, living blood. And I want to tell you his type. There's so many types. A, B, O, and A, B. But his blood covered all of us. All of us. The A's, the B's, the O's, the A, B's. His blood. Was the universal transfusion. His blood. Hey! And just one drop. See, sometimes when you need a transfusion, you need a pipe. But just one drop. One drop. Save the world. It saved you. It saved me. It cleansed me. One drop. For the blood. Wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Yeah, that's power. Power. Wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Thank you. Hey, thank you for the blood. Will never lose this power. Hey, it reaches to the highest mountain. And it flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives us strength from day to day. It will never, never, never lose. I'm about to say, never lose. Never lose this power. Hey, some of us say, yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. The blood, the blood. Thank you, God. Woo. The blood. The blood. Hey, 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 the blood. Some of you didn't get killed in that accident because of the blood. Some of you went in the hospital in bad condition, but you walked out because of the blood. Some of you kept your mind because of the blood. The blood, the blood, the blood. Yes, sir. Yeah, God. Wash me, God. Wash me in the blood. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the blood. Yeah. Thank you for the blood. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the Master, of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters he lifted me. Now say, safe am I. Love lifted me. Love lifted me when nothing else could help. Me. Hallelujah. Love. Hallelujah. The blood. Ah, it's time for morning prayer. Glory be to God. It's time for morning prayer. And if you're sitting in your seat, just because a mic will be in the hand of Sister Nadesha Noel, doesn't mean you can't pray from your seat. Because I don't know about you, but some of us need prayer. We need answers to situations and circumstances. And maybe you didn't do it this morning when you woke up, but I'm giving you an opportunity to do it now. So be in agreement with Sister Nadesha. But I suggest you start praying in your seat for yourself. Amen. Glory be to God. Come forward, Sister Nadesha. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Let us bow in prayer. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy on today, God. Lord God, we thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for us, Lord. Father God, we ask now, Lord, that you would forgive us, O God, of our sins, Lord. Everything, O God, that we thought, that we said, Lord, that we've done, God, that was displeasing to you, God. We ask, Lord, that you would please forgive us, God. We ask, Lord God, that you would wash us clean, O God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Lord God, we thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for us, God. We thank you, O God, for being a comforter, Lord God, when we needed to be comforted, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, for being a healer, O God, when we needed to be healed, Lord God. We thank you, God, for being a mind regulator, O God, when we needed to have our mind regulated, Lord. God, we thank you because you have been everything and all to us, Lord God. God, we thank you for keeping us, Lord. We thank you, God, for keeping us, Lord. Thank you, God, for keeping us. Lord God, we thank you for keeping us. Lord, the devil has tried. Lord, he's been in our minds, oh God, but you kept us, Lord. Lord God. Thank you, Lord, for those of us, Lord, who had our first real altar building experience with you, God. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us to build the altar. Oh, thank you, God. Lord, I pray, Lord, for every single young person, oh God, who's having or going into, oh God, their first altar building experience with you, God. God, we might have been in church all our lives, oh God, but we don't always know what to do when things happen. So I thank you, Lord God, for showing me and for showing us, Lord God, that no matter what, we can lift our hands. God, we can lift our hands, Lord. But you are our source of strength, oh God. Lord, you are our source of strength, God. Thank you, oh God, for being our strength. Thank you, oh God, for being our ever-present help, Lord God, in times of trouble, Lord. Lord God, thank you for showing us, Lord God, that we might not always see the way, but you are the way, oh God. Lord, if all we could do is say hallelujah, if all we could do is turn on a gospel song and just play it over and over again, God, that you will answer. Lord God, that you will come through for us, God. We thank you for coming through for us, God. And Lord, there are so many of us, Lord God, who are stuck, Lord God, who are searching for you, Lord God. Lord God, I pray, Lord, that you would prick the hearts, oh God, of those who have yet to experience you, Lord. Because to know Jesus is to love him. To know you is to love you, God. God, and we just thank you, Lord. Lord, help your people, oh God, to share, oh God, the joy that it is to be in Christ, Lord. Help us, God, to go out and teach all nations, Lord. For you are our strength, oh God. You are our redeemer, oh God. You are our way maker, oh God. God, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord God. And as we go into Passion Week, Lord God, we pray that you would help us, Lord God, to remember, oh God, the sacrifice that you made on Calvary for us, oh God. We thank you, Lord God, for your blood, Lord, that washes us clean, Lord. Lord God, we thank you, oh God, for not discarding of us, oh God, when we deserved it, Lord. Thank you, God, for still seeing us as useful, oh God, in spite of all of our sin, Lord, all that we do and say, God, that displeases you and grieves your heart, God, you keep us. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you didn't stop at Calvary, oh God. Because you could have stopped at Calvary, oh God. But instead, God, you decided to still keep us, Lord God, to still be here for us, oh God. To still answer when we cry out to you, oh God. So we thank you for that on today, oh God. God, we just pray that you will continue to keep us, Lord. Lord, that you would continue to wash over us, Lord God. Continue to lead us and guide us, Lord God, in the way that you designed for our lives, Lord God. God, we just thank you. We love you, Lord God. Uplift us, Lord God, when we need to be uplifted, Lord God. And we just thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. And we thank you, Lord God, even in advance, God, for what you have in store for us, oh God. We thank you in advance for what you have in store for us individually, oh God. And we thank you in advance for what you have in store for this ministry, oh God. Because Greater Cornerstone, Lord God, is going places, oh God. And Lord, this ministry will impact lives for you, Lord. So we ask that you would help us to be right, Lord. So that we are able to minister, Lord God, to every person that comes in contact with our ministry, oh God. And we just thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord, and we'll never fail to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory that you are due, oh God. In Jesus' name, amen.
prayer was prophetic. A prayer was prophetic. Hallelujah. Prophetic. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Vessel, God can use you. Amen. Willing vessels, God will use. And He will pour into a willing vessel. Amen. Glory to God. He will fill you up till you overflow. Amen. Amen. And we praise and thank God for Sister Noelle, who poured out of her heart before the Lord on our behalf. Amen. Amen. On our behalf. Glory to God. And I think what really blessed us is the prophecy that she spoke. Amen. Amen. About what God's going to do for the ministry. How God's going to expand the ministry. And that we as individuals, we will be blessing people and bringing them into, hallelujah. It won't look like this. You know, I heard that song. It won't always be like this. Because God will perfect that concerning me. Sooner or later, it turning in our favor. Glory be to God. Sooner or later. Yeah, yeah, outside the walls. We're going to press. Amen. Outside the walls. We gonna press. Glory be to God. I am going to decrease so that our pastor and will be able to expound the word, but I want to ask all of us if you can turn with me to 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. I'm going to begin at verse 6, and I'm going to read through verse 9. Amen. And I'm reading the New Living Translation. It is, and it reads thusly. Verse 6 begins with, "Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully." Verse 8 says, "And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others." Amen. The word of the Lord. Amen. And I'm saying that to just encourage those of you as you go to your electronic devices, or if you have a checkbook, or amen, or if you have paper, as you begin to sow seed, amen, we want you to be a blessing, and there are many ways and many platforms that Greater Cornerstone utilizes to accept offerings, amen? So it's giving time. You can use Tithely. You can use Givelify. You can use text to give, which is 833-553-7061. Again, text to give is 833-553-7061 and PayPal. In addition, we have, our trustees have devices that allow in-house giving. Amen? Amen. So if you got a card, you know, debit, credit, hallelujah, Trustee Green has the device, and you can swipe and you can sow seed. Amen. This is fertile ground. Amen. Amen. This is a household that's built on the Word of God, that teaches the Word of God and preaches the Word of God. And so if you give here, you will know that it's going to be applied to the community. It's going to be applied to whatever needs and mission God gives us to do. Amen. So I invite you to pull them out and use them. Amen. At this time. And if there's any in-house giving, please see our trustees as they walk around with the plates for a physical offering. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I don't know about you, but I understand and recognize that the needs that I have, he meets. Amen. He meets. Amen. And even if I can't meet it, he does. I never go lacking. Amen. Amen. Come on, somebody. There ought to be some testimonies about sowing seed. Amen. And tithing. Amen. Amen. Because when you take care of God's house, he takes care of your house. Amen. Hallelujah. And he makes people pour into you. Amen. Amen. Glory be to God. Some folk don't want to give it to you, but they feel compelled to be a blessing. I know about that. I don't really want to give you this. And I just be smiling, and there it go in my head. Praise you, Jesus. You hear me? In everything, give thanks. In everything. Amen. Have we all had the opportunity to sow seed in the physical sanctuary? Amen. Let us look to God. Eternal God, our Father, we praise and thank you for the gifts that we've been able to share. God, for the commitment we've made to giving to you what is due your name, oh God. We recognize that it doesn't belong to us anyway. It all belongs to you. So God, we thank you for the opportunity to sow seed. Oh God, we thank you for the opportunity to be a blessing and to bring a blessing. Oh God, we recognize that when we give, God, you know how to return on our investment. Oh God, we thank you that you give back as we need in the name of Jesus. And so God, we ask you to bless those cheerful givers who gave. Oh God, bless those who did not have to give but desired to give. Oh God, God, we pray and believe that on the next opportunity, they will have seed to sow. Oh God, God, we praise and thank you, and we give you all the honor and glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So at this opportunity, I'm going to just ask us to get ready for seed and harvest. I know Pastor last week talked about Sister Smith. Where is she up? Where did she go? She was sitting over there a minute ago. Oh, somebody's hiding her from me. There she is, and God, Pastor asked us to be a blessing and see her today, amen, for seed and harvest, and I'm ready to do that. I invite the rest of you and whoever else God has placed on your heart to be a blessing to, amen, amen. And after the seed and harvest, the choir is going to come and minister, amen, and then the word of the Lord, amen. We're excited, amen.
let's just celebrate the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you so much for showing Sister Smith this love. Amen. As I was watching the outpouring of love, one of the things that the Lord dawned on me was that most of you have never heard Sister Smith say a whole lot. And she's living proof that you don't have to say a lot to do a lot. You don't always have to be in the front with the mic to make an impact. Amen. Amen. And so, Sister Smith, thank you so much. We love you and appreciate all that you have done in this ministry for the more than 25 years that you've been here and served. Amen. God, praise God. Amen. And thanks be to God for all of you for not only sharing with her, but for whoever you have shared with today. Seed and harvest is about sowing a seed into good ground and believing that after a little bit of rain and some sunshine, that God's going to spring forth a harvest that will not just bless that person, but will create an overflow and bless people around that person. You want God to really bless you? Have a heart to bless somebody else. And all of a sudden, you'll start to see God do things for you that you've been needing him to do. I love to live on that scripture that says, be still and know that I am God. Amen. Sometimes you just got to be still. Let God work out all the details and the small stuff. And so we praise God. Today we want to pour into each other. Amen. So let's speak with power. Family, God is doing great things. And he wants to do even greater things for you. But unfortunately, you're blocking your own blessing. You're holding things. Harboring things. You're staying on things that were supposed to be temporary. Lessons that weren't supposed to live with you. They were supposed to teach you so it can elevate you. But you're stuck there. But no more. In the name of Jesus, I decree and declare that you have to let it go. It doesn't have you. You have it. And you can be free today from every yoke of bondage, from every shackle, every chain, everything that hinders you, every locked door, every roadblock, every gated community, every closed situation can open for you today when you allow God to purge you from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. He's ready to cast out everything that fouls your temple. Open the door and let it go. And I promise you, blessings will begin to manifest. If you receive it, give God praise all over this building. That's it. It's going to begin to manifest. You got to let it go. Got to let it go. Hallelujah. Anybody know the Lord will do just what he said? Like you and me, that's love. Oh yeah. Jesus went to Calvary to save a wretch like you and me. Oh yeah. Anybody believe that this morning? Jesus went to save a wretch like you and me. They hung him high, stretched him wide. He hung his head, for me he died. Oh, somebody ought to just tell him thank you this morning. Oh, yeah, they hung him high, stretched him wide. He hung his head, for me he died. But we can rejoice, you know why? Because that's not how the story ends. Oh, yeah. For in 3 days, he rose again. Oh, my God. Come on, just wave your hand and say, that's not how the story ends. For in 3 days, he rose again. Oh, somebody ought to praise him. Oh, come on, that's love. Oh, yeah. Next time a creature from the lagoon look you in the face talking about they love you, say, well, no, that's love. All this stuff you taking me through, that ain't love, but that, no, that's love. That's love. Creature from the lagoon, amen. Hallelujah. We rise and give honor to God, who is our everything. Without him, we would not be able to stand. We would only be able to fall. I praise him for his providence, his peace, for his provision. I thank him for his place in my life. We thank God for each and every one of you. We praise God this morning for our worship leader, Reverend Ricks. Amen. Amen. We praise God for Minister Purnell. Amen. Reverend Andrews, who tore up Sunday school, and now he's on preaching assignment this morning. Amen. And for all of our officers, the mothers of our church. Amen. Our First Lady and all of you, my sisters and brothers in Christ, it is good to be in the house of the Lord. Won't you pray with me? God, my Father, I just want to thank you for this moment of fellowship and this time of worship. I thank you because, God, we need you. We have needs and questions about our lives. So please consecrate us now to your service by the power of grace divine, and draw me nearer and freshly anoint my mouth, my mind, my motives, and my method of proclamation. God, I pray that you would drive out everything that you did not ordain to be here, so that your people might hear your word. And I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart are acceptable in your sight, because you are my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen, amen. Let us turn to the book of Matthew, amen. We thank God. Amen, Minister Purnell, for giving us the first part of the text when she read verses 6 through 11, and how they brought the donkey, and the Bible says they lifted him up, put him on it, he rode in, they began to praise God for the Son of David. And the entire city of Jerusalem, verse 10 said, was in an uproar. Yes. as he entered, asking the question, who is this? And they said it was Jesus of Nazareth. We're going to pick up our reading at verse 12, amen, through 17. Then I just want to give you a couple of verses from Luke chapter 19. Amen. But we want to pick up our reading at verse 12. Matthew 21, verse 12 says, Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out all of the people buying and selling animals for sacrifice. He knocked over the tables of the money changers and the chairs of those selling doves. He said to them, the scriptures declare my temple will be called a house of prayer, but you have turned it into a den of thieves. The blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. The leading priests and the teachers of religious law saw these wonderful miracles and heard even the children in the temple shouting, praise God for the Son of David. But the leaders were indignant. They asked Jesus, do you hear what these children are saying? Yes, Jesus replied, haven't you ever read the scriptures? For they say you have taught children and infants to give you praise. Then he returned to Bethany, where he stayed overnight. Quickly, we want to flip over to Luke chapter 19. Amen. And I want to lift for your hearing verse 41. Luke chapter 19, starting at verse 41. Again, from the New Living Translation, it says, but as he came closer to Jerusalem and saw the city ahead, he began to weep. How I wish today that you of all people would understand the way to peace. But now it is too late, and peace is hidden from your eyes. Flip on down to verse 45. It says, then Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out the people selling animals for sacrifices. He said to them, the scriptures declare my temple will be a house of prayer, but you have turned it into a den of thieves. Verse 47 says, after that, he taught daily in the temple. But the leading priests, the teachers of religious law, and the other leaders of the people began planning how to kill him. But they could think of nothing because all the people hung on every word he said. Hallelujah. As you go to your seat, I want to preach as the Lord shall guide, transforming my temple into God's temple. Transforming my temple into God's temple. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My sisters and brothers, this morning in our review of Matthew and Luke's gospel, we find our Lord and Savior Jesus entering Jerusalem to the praises of the Passover crowd. Our text brings us into this tense moment in Jesus' life and ministry. And even though it was a time of high praise for Jesus, it was also a moment of tension, a moment of trouble, and a moment of personal trial. The religious leaders had already sent a message throughout Jerusalem that anyone seeing Jesus of Nazareth should report it to them. You see, their plan was to arrest Jesus, preferably before the Passover, in order to avoid a riot that would disrupt their agreement of civil obedience with the Roman oppressors. There were questions going throughout Jerusalem wondering if Jesus would actually show his face. Jewish pilgrims who were traveling to Jerusalem from other cities and nations for the Passover had become intrigued by the local story about a man who was dead for 4 days and was then raised from the dead by Jesus. The excitement about this story began building when mourners who were in Bethany to comfort Mary and Martha became eyewitnesses who could confirm that, yes, indeed, Jesus showed up and raised Lazarus from the dead. And so what happens is, instead of hanging out in Jerusalem and helping all the shopkeepers make money while waiting for the Passover, the travelers diverted their direction up to Bethany to see Lazarus for themselves. this change in direction, this change in shifting of the atmosphere caused Jesus to become an even more wanted man. At the time this was going on, Jesus and the disciples were in Jericho. And after spending some time with Zacchaeus, Jesus made his way towards Jerusalem. When he arrived in Bethpage near Bethany, he sent the disciples into a village to borrow the colt of a donkey. And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw garments on it. And Jesus was lifted up and placed on the donkey to ride the rest of the way into Jerusalem. And according to the Bible, the crowd from Bethany joined this procession. And as Jesus approached the Mount of Olives, the people began throwing their garments in the road and pulling down palm branches. And they began shouting, "Hosanna, blessings on the King who comes in the name of the Lord." See, for the people, Jesus was more than just a miracle worker. They wanted him to be their king. They were praising him. They were excited because in their mind, they saw a shifting in times. They saw a political leader. They saw a social activist. They saw one who would stand up on their behalf, who happened to have the power to manifest miracles. The celebration was so intense, the noise so loud, the praise so high that Jesus's enemies begged him to quiet the people down. Jesus replied, "If they keep quiet, the rocks will cry out in their place." And then Jesus enters Jerusalem for the first time for this year's Passover. And Passover, as you remember, was the feast God instituted for the Jewish people to remember their deliverance from Egyptian bondage. And as Jesus made his way into the city, he saw thousands of people who were oblivious to their Savior's visitation. They were praising God, but not praising him for the right reason. They were celebrating the presence of Jesus without celebrating the presence of Jesus. They were in the number making noise, but they weren't in the number making noise for the right reason. There were multitudes of people who had no idea who Jesus was or what he represented. And Matthew tells us some of them even asked, "Well, who is this man?" And looming in the background of these lost souls stood the temple in Jerusalem, the one place that was meant to be sacred. It was meant to be a sacred place, and it had become a place of exploitation. It had become a place of sin, commercialism, and spiritual corruption. And the strangest things happens as these people are in high praise, making noise so much that his enemies wanted him to shut them up. While all this noise were going up and the temple loomed in the background, a strange thing happened in the midst of all this public praise and celebration. In the middle of the excitement and expectation, in front of his passionate supporters and his most hated enemies, the Bible says that as Jesus came closer to Jerusalem, he began to weep. That word "weep" is actually a misnomer when you translate it into the English language. It makes us think that he just shed a few tears, but in the original language, it meant he began to sob. Jesus actually began sobbing, and this is his moment. He has supporters who believe in him. He has people waiting to see him. And instead of enjoying the celebration, Jesus is crying. He didn't begin to open his mouth and offer promises or prophecy. He didn't declare victory or triumph. He didn't pump his fist or high-five the disciples. No, Jesus started to sob. Jesus told his people that he wished that they would have understood the way of peace, but now it's too late for them. Peace would be hidden from their eyes. Their enemies would come and destroy them because they did not recognize the time of visitation. Y'all are in here praising for the wrong reason. Y'all are in here celebrating and have no clue. Y'all are in here making noise, but there's no change on the inside of your heart. You're just here because that's what you do. You're just doing it because everybody else is doing it. Jesus said, "You missed the moment of visitation when I had a chance to heal you and deliver you and turn you around. You in church, but the church ain't in you." Church, Jesus' Palm Sunday experience gives us a close look at what life for the faithful can appear to become. Here he is, the Son of God, wrapped in human flesh. His ministry created a movement, but the movement didn't move the Jews, it moved the Gentiles. For the Jews, his ministry wasn't nothing but a moment, but for the rest of the world, it had become a movement. I just wonder this morning, how many of us are here for a moment, and how many of us are here for a movement? You see, when I go through all week long, I don't need just a moment. I need a full movement. I need him to move my situation, move my heart, move my feet, move my hands. His ministry operated in the power of miracles, but the miracle of a restored relationship with his people had to wait. John put it this way, he came into his own, and his own received him not. Church, this broke his heart. The Savior of the world is heartbroken to the point he is publicly sobbing. And as he made his way further into the city, he saw thousands of people who were oblivious to the visitation of their Savior. And the one place that was meant to be the sacred place, the one place that was meant to be the place where God dwelled, the one place that had a purpose bigger than politics, the Romans, Pilate, or Herod, the one place where all people should have been able to tap into the power of God, had become a place of exploitation and sin. It was another strike against him. And now he's looking at the place that was his home. He came to the temple and discovered that the temple was not his temple anymore. The house that stood as his house had become a den of thieves. His house had been confiscated and had become the people's house. And when Jesus looked on the temple, he didn't recognize it anymore. And he proclaimed that my house should be called a house of prayer, but you rascals have turned it into a den of thieves. It's the you have made it part that rings out for me. And in 2025, what have we made of the temple of God? Because all this confusion and all this chaos and all this bickering and all this back and forth and all this positioning and all this jockeying for leadership and position and titles, and that ain't none of that got nothing to do with God. That's what the people have done to God's house. All this not speaking to each other and holding grudges and getting mad and going back and forth and not speaking and not loving and not helping and thinking that everything is about us, that ain't got nothing to do with God. That's what the people have done to the house of God. The Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20 that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And our bodies do not belong to us, because they belong to God as the dwelling place for the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God desires to dwell within our temples. And on this Palm Sunday, I'm asking each of you to wonder, as I have done this month, I wonder if you have ever considered, what would Jesus' response be if he were approaching the Jerusalem of your life with you and I in the background representing his temple? When Jesus looks at us, are we causing him to weep? When Jesus examines our lifestyle, does he start sobbing? When he thinks about the sacrifice he's made for us and how we ain't willing to sacrifice nothing for him, does he weep? When Jesus reviews our successes and failures during our consecration, does he break out in tears? We're quick to make loud public affirmations about our faith because praise is what we do. But in reality, our temples are corrupt. We frequently fail to be the men and women God is calling for. Walking around calling ourselves his children with our bad tempers and our impatient spirits and our jealous hearts and our corrupt motives and our nosiness disguised as intercession, broken spirits and unforgiving hearts. When Jesus listens to our conversations, does he sob? When Jesus monitors our motives, does he sob? When he compares our interactions with one another to his interactions with us, does he drop his head in sorrow? When Jesus looks at the temple that we are now and compares it to what we're supposed to be, does he find a den of thieves? Because if we tell the truth, we have fallen way short of the glory of God. And I wonder sometimes, have we all become so heavenly bound that we're no earthly good? Have we all become so self-righteous that we have offended God and brought Jesus to tears? And if we honestly examine ourselves, we have to admit that as temples, we are in no better shape than the temple in Jerusalem. Somebody here knows your temple has been corrupted and turned into a den of thieves. A lack of integrity, poor character, faithless movement, lustful living, still speaking words of bitterness and strife. You have more attitude than anointing. You have more excuses than experiences of his glory. And instead of owning your mess, you're still pointing fingers and blaming other people. A complete den of thieves. I dare you to look within your heart and ask this question. With all that I have to praise God for, and with all the noise my worship and our worship can make, is Jesus crying over me while everyone else is worshiping him? In the midst of the highest moments of praise in this church, when our hands are lifted and our voices are crying out and we are celebrating the Lord, I just wonder if Jesus is sitting there with his arms folded saying, Praise is what you do. Praise is who you are. But I don't know you. I dare you this morning to take a moment and ask the question, have I broken Jesus' heart? What was it, Jesus? Was it my fornication, my lying, my selfishness? Was it my disobedience, my impatience, my arrogance? My self-righteousness, my doubt, my lust, my fierce anger, my unforgiving heart? Was it the way I abuse my family? Was it the way I disrespect my spouse? Was it the way I don't pay my bills on time because I'm too busy spending it in the street? God, what was it that I have done that hurt you? But let me tell you something, church. I don't want to leave you there. I love the fact that after he finished crying, Jesus got to work. Woo, good God Almighty. How many know if you're just willing to let him work on you, he'll fix it right now? For the Jewish people, the temple in Jerusalem sat at the center of their relationship with God. It was the place where prayer was wrought and where atonement for their sins was made. The temple was the place where the people got right with God. The Old Testament temple required cleansing before and after sacrifices were made. And worshipers traveling to Jerusalem for the Passover were required to bring animals to offer as their sacrifice. So sections of the temple were reserved for merchants who would sell animals at high markup prices. There were others who would exchange foreign money for the currency used in Jerusalem. And when Jesus entered the temple and observed what was going on, even after he had cleansed it before, he knew immediately that it was time to clean the house of God again. Somebody ought to just holler, I need to be clean again. I've been contaminated by the culture. I've been dissuaded by my friends. I've allowed the things on the outside to affect what's going on the inside. And instead of letting the things on the inside affect what's going on the outside, some of us are so busy trying to turn others, we haven't realized we've been turned. Some of y'all been flipped. Been flipped and dipped in chocolate and turned all over. The enemy has made a mess of us. This was his final week of life in human flesh. And if the celebration of the people were to be effective, he needed to transform the temple from what it had become to what it was intended for. Palm Sunday marks the beginning of Holy Week, a time of fulfillment and transformation. Jesus' arrival in Jerusalem was not just a celebration, but it was a declaration of change. And this morning, I invite you to make a declaration of change for your temple. My temple will be a holy temple and an anointed temple. Oh, my God, only about three people responded. This is the declaration that we want to make for the Lord. My temple will be a holy temple and an anointed temple. In other words, I ain't going to let nobody just use my temple any kind of way. You ain't going to be beating all over me and sleeping with me and rolling me over like I'm a used bag. You ain't going to be able to talk to me any kind of way and treat me any kind of way. My temple will be a holy temple. It will be an anointed temple. Anybody here tired of people treating you like you're a side of beef, treating you like you're a piece of meat, looking at you like you ain't anointed, like you don't have a calling? Don't you realize that if God didn't have a purpose for your life, you would have checked out a long time ago? You would have died in the car accident, died on the in surgery. You would have died in the street. You would have been in that nightclub when it caught on fire, that when your car flipped over 38 times and you walked away talking about, woo, you wouldn't have made it out of that if God didn't have a purpose in your life. And there are people around you who are strategically placed by the enemy to try to kill the purpose that God has put in your life. But I dare you to declare this morning, my temple belongs to God. I invite you to take seriously the guarding of your heart, the guarding of your mind, the guarding of your body and soul from anything that corrupts our spiritual walk. Watch this. That's why you can't talk to everybody. I know I'm a pastor. It's my responsibility to answer the phone, but I know where I am spiritually. And so if I'm not up to it, certain phone ring calls, I look at them, not today. Not today, because they're going to be looking for prayer. But I'm going to give them prayer. It's going to be prayer, but it's going to be a prayer with an E instead of an A. And so therefore, I'm just going to back up off of this because they ain't going to like what they get. Y'all act like you always got it. I know who I come from. I know who my parents are. I know my family lineage. And I know that this mouth can be locked and loaded at all times. I got it naturally. Maternally and paternally. I got one laughing and one trying to act like it. Now, he ain't talking about me. Oh, I know. And I want to keep my temple pure. I want to keep my temple right. And that's why I don't listen to a whole bunch of whining and crying and complaining and people who giving up on life and I can't take it and this ain't right and it ain't fair and I don't know. Get off my phone. My temple is holy. I need to talk to people who are willing to fight back. I'm willing to talk to people who are saying, I messed up, but let's get to the next. Because all I care about is, I don't care how bad you messed up, what's next? What are we going to do about it? How are we going to fight back? How are we going to choke the devil? How are we going to win? How are we going to overcome? How are we going to defeat the enemy? Baby, my name Wilson, not Kleenex. Save all that snot and tears for something else. It's time to fight. Oh, my God. Anybody know it's time to fight? You wake up in the morning, don't feel well, fight. You have problems on your job, fight. The enemy tries to attack your home and bring disruption to your family, fight. You don't feel like dealing with what's going on in this country, but you ain't going to sit in the back room crying about it. Stand up and fight. My temple is meant for the things of God. And therefore, I can't just let anybody come along and just treat me any kind of way. I have become a vessel of God. Therefore, handle me properly. Ladies, don't you let nobody beat all over you and call you all out your name and tell you you're not beautiful and that you don't belong to God. The devil is a lie. Any man that touch you don't love you. Would you dare sit there and let somebody tell you that's love? That ain't love. That's called domestic violence. And that booger ought to go to jail. Brothers, don't you let nobody tell you that all you are is a bank and an ATM machine. And she wants you to pay my cell phone bill, pay my car newly, buy me this and buy me that. And then when you drop dead, she all with the other two that she already had lined up on the runway. The devil is a lie. You are a holy temple of God. You shall be treated that way. And if you can't treat me that way, you need to get to stepping. Somebody ought to holler, I'm going to guard my heart and my mind. Messing around with these boogers, I done just about gone crazy. Messing around with these stupid people, I just about done lost my identity. The devil is a lie. God said it should be a house of prayer. We got to protect yourself from anything that corrupts our temple. Because this is where the Holy Spirit desires to dwell. And the Holy Spirit won't dwell in an unclean temple. Church, we have become too comfortable with the transition of today's culture. This culture normalizes exposure to sin through media, habits, and relationships. Many people struggling with guarding their minds and bodies from harmful influences because of the people they hang with. Struggling with separating from toxic relationships and fake friendships and connections of people who are like bloodthirsty leeches. They drain all your anointing and then go back and talk about you. Talking about they ain't got no anointing. They done lost their favor with God after they the ones who drained it out of you. In the days of Christ, sin was normalized through the repetition of just living to survive. Jesus entered Jerusalem as a king, but chose a donkey, which was a symbol of his humility. I wish people would just go back to being humble. Everybody wants somebody to see them. See me. Call me. Recognize me. What we say Friday night? Sit down. Anybody tired of folk always want to be seen? Come on, just tell them right now. Sit down. So the question is, why was the temple a priority for Jesus? And what does it mean for us today? Jesus' actions were not just about the physical temple, but about the need for spiritual renewal. Jesus drove out unclean things and unclean people from the temple. So we must ask, have we allowed corruption into our spiritual lives? Have we become comfortable with our own wickedness? Have we turned our temples into a den of thieves? We need to discover what needs to be removed from our lives so that our temples can be clean. Now here's the exciting thing for us. Jesus didn't just cleanse the temple. He redefined its purpose. And when God cleanses our temples, he doesn't just want us clean. He wants us redefined. Oh my God. Somebody holler, I'm about to get a new reputation. You knew me for what I used to do, but you're about to learn me for what I'm going to be. You knew me for all my mistakes, but now you're about to learn me for my anointing. You knew me for my past, but now you're about to learn about my present and my future. Yes, I admit I used to be unclean. Yes, I admit I used to be messed up. Yes, I admit I used to be influenced by the world, but baby, Jesus done got a hold of me. And since Jesus done got a hold of me, there's going to be a whole new me. By cleansing the temple, he was able to guard against the culture and how it wanted to toxify their minds and their bodies. See, church, the victory of Palm Sunday went beyond the parade. we usually stop at the parade. But the victory of Palm Sunday took place when Jesus turned the temple in Jerusalem into the temple of God. The temple is sacred. And since our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, we should view them as being set apart for sacred use. That's why we are elevating our bodies as a part of elevation. What we allow in determines what we prioritize and reflects the true focus of our worship. How many of us realize this morning that my focus isn't Jesus, it's me? But a cleansed temple invites God's presence, his power, his protection, and his purpose. So let's revisit the text and the scene briefly. There are two crowds present. One is a crowd of people traveling to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. The other is a crowd of people who live in Jerusalem. The traveling crowd is praising Jesus for the resurrection of Lazarus, believing he's about to be the king. And the hometown crowd is asking, who is this man riding on a donkey? I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a part of the hometown crowd and not get who Jesus is. There's an expectation from the crowd that Jesus is finally going to establish Israel's kingdom on earth, and the Jews are finally going to be free from the Roman oppression that has controlled their lives. And as the excitement builds, the Pharisees become afraid that the Roman officials will think a riot is taking place, so they ask Jesus to shut it down. Somebody always wants to shut the praise down. Good God Almighty. Somebody always wants you to be quiet. Somebody always wants you not to celebrate. Somebody always wants you to be calm and demure and just quiet with yours. But what people don't understand is you don't know the hell I go through between Sunday morning and Sunday morning. You don't know the trouble I face. You don't know the burdens I carry. And you don't know how God has stepped in the most critical moments of my life and made a way out of no way. And now you want me to sit here and be quiet like he hasn't done anything for me? You must have lost your mind, because when I think of the goodness of Jesus and everything that he's done for me, I can't help but make some noise. I can't help but wave my hand. I can't help but throw my head back and tell him thank you for what you've done for me. Jesus says, no. Don't you realize if they don't praise me, the rocks are going to start crying out? But in the midst of what looks like victory, he sobs. But our Jesus doesn't give up or give in. He keeps going. I could park there for a moment. Now, some of us at every turn give up. Every turn we give in. But Jesus shows us you got to keep going. He deals with the conditions in the temple and the corruptions of the temple. He transforms the corrupt temple into the temple of God. And I believe after 6 weeks of consecrating and in preparation for entering Holy Week, Jesus plans to transform our temples from places of corruption and sin to a place where the Holy Ghost can reign and rule. Do you realize how dangerous we'll be when we just allow the Holy Spirit to have full reign in our lives? Do you realize why the enemy has been coming at you like this? Because the enemy realizes that the moment you get free, the moment you are no longer drunk and high, the moment you are no longer angry and bitter, the moment you are no longer trapped by sin, the moment you are no longer caught up in your past, but you have a clear view of your future and you become free in the Lord, he realizes that the moment you recognize that, you're going to tear his kingdom down. If he can get you in the corner complaining and crying about what ain't going right, he got you where he wants you. He don't care if you come to church if you leave with no power. He don't care if you come to church and you still don't pray. He don't care if you come to church and you don't receive the word. But the moment that word starts to stirring up the gift on the inside of you, he becomes afraid, because he knows you have enough power to tear his kingdom down. So Jesus says, I want to clean the temple. I want to turn your temple into the temple of God. How are you going to do it, Jesus? He said, first thing I want you to understand is that I am going to drive out everything and everyone that is hurting you from being what you're supposed to be. Why is that, Jesus? It's because if you're going to be a temple of God, then that means that your temple should be a house of prayer. He see, he prioritized prayer as the foundation and purpose of the temple. The temple without prayer is powerless. And I got news for you. A believer without prayer is disconnected and powerless. We have to prioritize persistent prayer in our spiritual walk. Prayer can never be a priority where carnality, corruption, and the cancel culture thrive. Before Jesus announces that the house shall be called the house of prayer, he cleanses the temple because prayer thrives in a clean temple. And in our case, prayer is answered from the temple and for the temple. In verse 12, Matthew records that Jesus entered the temple and drove out all of the people buying and selling animals for the sacrifice. Then he knocked over the tables of the money changers and the chairs of those selling doves. But here's the most important part of this lesson. Jesus had already proclaimed that the Jews had missed the hour of visitation. He didn't clean the area of the temple where the Jews assembled. He cleaned the courtyard where the sick and the lame and the ceremonially unclean people were supposed to gather. Because you see, the area where the broken people gathered is the area where they put all the merchants. It's where they put all the corruption, because they didn't care if the broken people ever got healed. They kept their part free of the corruption and then decided to tear up the part where the people who really needed God used to go. And they drove them out so that the merchants can make money. Jesus said, no. We're going to clean up all of this right here so that the people who are wounded and broken and in need of a miracle can have a place to come and worship God. Good God Almighty. After he cleaned out the house, he cleaned up the house. He reestablished that his Father's house was created to be a house of prayer and not a den of thieves. There are people and things you need to make up your mind to get rid of. This is a house of prayer, not a house of promiscuous living. A house of prayer, not a house of pathetic praise. A house of prayer, not a house of pitiful worship. A house of prayer, not a house of compromised commitment. Prayer will not prosper where corruption flows freely. Prayer is ineffective where sin is in charge. God wants our temple to house the Holy Spirit. And to do that, it must be a house of prayer. The temple is a house of prayer, but he also says that the temple is a house of healing. You'll see in the text around verse 14, after he cleaned out the temple, Jesus cleans up the temple. He restored the place designated for the sick and the lame to be healed. And Matthew says that the blind, the lame, came to Jesus after the cleansing of the temple. He says that the ministry immediately got back on target. The sick and the lame came to Jesus in the temple. And please understand that today your body can be the temple of the Holy Spirit, but you must clean out and then clean up your house. Clean up the stuff that's been defiling your life. Turn your temple into a house of healing and a house for healing. A house of healing where pain is turned into power. A house of healing where the forgotten learn that God has not forgotten them. A house of healing where you are restored and the overflow of your restoration flows until those around you become healed by your overflow. A house where infirmity and disease will be healed. A place where hearts are mended, sins are forgiven, faults are forgotten, favor is restored. Your house must be cleaned out and cleaned up, and then healing will take place for you and because of you. Personal purity produces God's healing power. Things around you will start to change when there's room for healing in your temple. And Jesus wants to transform our temples so that we can be healed and then help others become healed. You know your temple is corrupt when you enjoy the brokenness of others. I got news for you, baby. Don't you ever declare I'm crazy if you ain't bad enough to pray my crazy away. Now, I ain't going to sit here and deny and say that I don't go crazy sometimes. But if you love me and bad as you think you are, then you should be able to say, if you can call it out, then you can pray it out. Oh, good God Almighty. Jesus wants to transform our temples. He wants our temple to be a house of prayer and a house of healing. But there's more. When Jesus transforms our temple into God's temple, it also becomes a house of praise. Mm-hmm. The text says the leading priests and the teachers of law, the religious law, saw the wonderful miracles and heard even the children in the temple shouting, "Praise God for the Son of David." They even had the audacity to say to Jesus, "You hear these kids praising you?" And Jesus said, "Haven't you read that thou hast perfected praise through the mouths of babes?" When the people witnessed the healing taking place in the temple, they began to praise God. But it was the children that when they started praising God, that upset the religious establishment. Do you realize that the devil don't want your children praising God? As a matter of fact, he don't even want you as a child of God praising God. But tell somebody, I got a case of the I can't help it. I just got to praise him. I feel the need to praise him. Not only do I owe him my praise, but I want to give him my praise. Now watch this. I don't always feel like praising God, but that doesn't mean that I won't praise God. I don't always have the energy to praise God, but that doesn't mean that I won't push myself to praise God. Because praise doesn't always have to be boisterous. Sometimes it ain't nothing but a wave of the hand, the dropping of the tear, a tapping of the foot, a clapping of the hand, a beating of the heart. And if I can just open my mouth, I'll just give him some praise. But one songwriter put it this way: if I can't say a word, I'll just wave my hand. When the temple is transformed into God's temple, praise fills the house. God is so good and so kind, when he starts moving, praise fills the temple. True worship comes from an honest and humble heart, and it's time to provide God with passionate praise. You'll notice that the children were praising God about what he's doing in the life of the sick and afflicted. It doesn't say that the children who were sick praise God. It just says that the children praise God. They start praising God for what he was doing around them. No, oh my God. Anybody here recognize that when you start praising God for what he's doing in somebody else's life, it will manifest blessings in your own life? Oh my God, where the praisers at? Where the real worshipers at? When I was growing up in church, they used to sing a song, said I wasn't going to tell nobody, but I can't keep it to myself. Do I have any witnesses here? Look at somebody, say, I got some praise reports that you have got to hear. It may not be big to you, but it's big to me. I got some praise reports that'll blow your mind. I've got some praise reports that'll make your feet move. I've got some praise reports that'll shock you, baby. When I start telling you how he brought me out and what he brought me through and what he carried me over and how he insulated me and how he covered me and how he protected me and how he hid me from the enemy, and when my faith was low and when my heart was overwhelmed and my mind was confused and it looked like I was out in the open and it looked like the enemy was going to get me, he hid me in his pavilion, in the secret places of his tabernacle. I was wide open. I was an open target. I just knew the enemy was going to pick me off, but he covered me and he cleaned me and he restored me, and here I am. Look at somebody, say, neighbor, I'm not here on my own strength. I'm not here because I got money. I'm not here because I'm smart. I'm here because the Lord destroyed the nest of the fowler. I'm here because God picked me up and turned me around. And if you want to be blessed, learn how to praise God for what he's done for somebody else and watch him do it for you. When he transforms the temple, it becomes a house of prayer. Yes. Woo. Yes. It becomes a house of healing. Yes. But it also becomes a house of praise. But there's one final stage to the transformation of your temple. Your temple now becomes a house of instruction. Luke tells us, from then on, Jesus taught daily in the temple, proclaiming the truth. And the religious leaders, they weren't listening for illumination. They were listening for a mistake. Because they figured, if we can mess him up on the word, we'll have cause to kill him. But the Bible says they couldn't find anything to accuse him of. And they couldn't get the people to turn on him because they hung on every word. Good God Almighty, our temples must reflect the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Our temples must reflect the glory of God. Our temples ought to be a story to tell other people how to get from disgrace to amazing grace. Our temples ought to give instruction to let people know that if he did it for me, he can do it for you. Our temples ought to be a place of instruction where we can tell people how to get over. We can tell people how to make it. We can tell people how to survive. We can tell people how to be victorious by using the word of God. The sad thing is, there are so many people in the house of God who are biblically illiterate because they don't study the word of God. They don't look to the word of God for answers to life's problems because they're too busy being on the internet asking somebody on YouTube. Baby, get to your Bible. The psalmist said, thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And Paul told his son Timothy, be instant in season and out of season. Peter told us that God doesn't want anybody to perish. So we who are saved, we should always be prepared to give an account, to give an explanation, to give instruction of why we believe what we believe. We are temples. You should always be able to get the word at the temple. You should always be able to find truth at the temple. You should always be able to find integrity at the temple. Should always be able to find power at the temple. And how many of us know that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit? And so I don't want to be a den of thieves. I want to be the temple that's a house of prayer, a house of healing, a house of praise, and a house of instruction. My brothers and my sister, when Jesus looks at us, is he weeping? Because I'm afraid that in the midst of all our praise and all of our intended joyful noise, when he looks past our celebration and examines our temples, he weeps at our condition. He weeps because our hearts aren't right. He weeps because we're just as disobedient as anybody in Scripture has ever been described. He weeps because of our misguided motives. He weeps because we think we've arrived, but we're sinful, hateful, disobedient, jealous, envious, impatient, stingy, slothful, boastful, and filled with pride about things we should be ashamed of. Some of us have decided to live in our pain. Some of us are stuck in our past. Some of us are holding on to our hurts and the disappointments of life instead of learning from them and using them as stepping stones You're angry at your kids, your spouse, your the one you wish was your spouse, your job, the church, me, First Lady, and anybody you attempted to do something for. And then all of a sudden, you think that because you tried to use all these people to make yourself feel good and it didn't work, now you mad at everybody. But the Bible says he, meaning Jesus, is our peace. And the songwriter said, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Last week, we asked him to wash us. Then he told us to go wash, and we could see. Now that we can see, it's not just the outside that needs cleaning. We need to clean our hearts. Some of us need to go and apologize for our wretched behavior. Some of us need to apologize to people. All of us need to apologize to God. And most of us need to apologize to ourselves for living beneath the privilege of being saved. Because it's not just the inside, it's the outside and the inside that need to be cleaned. We need to clean our hearts, our minds, and our souls. And just as Jesus cleansed the temple, we must cleanse our spiritual lives. Well, we asked the question some years ago in a song, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, how precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. Oh, no other fount I've known. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Come on, lay hands on somebody. Say, I plead the blood right now. You shall be clean right now. You are a temple. You are a temple. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, start washing right now. Holy Spirit, start cleaning right now. I plead the blood right now. Come on, come on, come on, church. Come on, I need you to catch on fire. Catch this, catch this. Come on, catch this, catch this. Come on, come on, move, move, move. Touch somebody. Come on, come on, touch. In the name of Jesus, I plead the blood. 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 Hallelujah. The blood is making you whole. The blood is turning the temple of thieves into the temple of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I decree it and declare it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. My God. God, turn my temple into your temple. Turn my temple into your temple. I'm tired of being halfway in and halfway out. Anybody tired of looking the part? But then as soon as you go on the inside, you find out ain't nothing to it. But smoke and mirrors. It's like going to the funny house at the amusement park. When you get inside, you realize ain't nothing but mirrors. Mirrors to change your perspective to make you think things are that are not. I don't want to be that kind of Christian. I don't want to be that kind of temple. I want my temple clean. I want my temple pure. And watch this, not for my purpose, but so God can use me wherever he plants me. So if he tells me, son, I need you to be a light in this dark place on this job, I can go there without crying about it and realize I'm on a mission for God. Everybody stand to your feet. We're going to pray. Lord, turn my temple into your temple. I want to be fit for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit ain't interested in living in no foul house. Holy Spirit don't smoke weed. Holy Spirit don't get high. The Holy Spirit don't drink troubles away. He speaks. Holy Spirit don't sleep with everything that can fog a mirror. The Holy Spirit doesn't make you hate yourself. Holy Spirit doesn't make you compare yourself to somebody else. The Holy Spirit will never tell you you're too short or you're too tall or you're too dark or you're too light. Holy Spirit is never going to pick on you because of the texture of your hair or the lack thereof. The Holy Spirit will help you love yourself. And when others look at you and say, I don't want to be your friend, the Holy Spirit will say, your friend is Jesus anyway. I want my temple to belong to God. I don't want my weaknesses to cause me to think I always need to dope up my pain. Some things he allows you to go through that he might reshape you. And that stretching and reshaping hurts. Ooh. Bible says he knows the way that I take. And when he has tried me, I shall come forth as pure gold. You do realize that gold has to be purified. It has to be put in the fire. It has to be melted down. And that dross, the dirt, the filth inside the metal rises to the top. And there's a skimming process. Tell somebody, I'm going through the skimming. Every time he wipes, it hurts. Every time he skims, I feel it. But baby, when it cools off, you shall be 100% pure. Where the folk who want to be pure at, just wave your hand and say, God, I want to be pure. I want to be a real Christian. I don't want to be one of them people that talk about it but can't be about it. Come on, we're going to lay hands on ourselves. God, in the name of Jesus, we stand before you because we have come to the place where we must admit and confess our sins before you. God, our words, our attitudes, the way we handle things, the way we fly off the handle at every little thing, our impatience with people, that spirit of always being a victim has caused us to act ugly and be ugly. God, our desire for things more than our desire for you, our lust for possessions more than, oh God, our desire to be possessed by you, have caused us to spend more money than we make, have caused us to make relationships with people we should never be connected to, have caused us, oh God, to fall out of love with ourselves and thereby out of love with you. But in the name of Jesus, we repent before you this morning. We ask that you would wash us right now, not just on the outside, but on the inside. Lord, we need you to purify our hearts and our minds so that, God, we can be a house of prayer, a house of healing, a house of praise, and a house of instruction. So use us for your glory. Right now, we decree and declare in the name of Jesus that everything that the enemy has attached and assigned to us to disrupt us and to destroy us, We break it apart. We destroy it. We plead the blood. And God, allow your anointing to break every shackle and destroy every yoke of bondage. Free us, oh God, from physical infirmities, from emotional dysfunction. God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, wash us. Lord, purify us. Lord, make us holy. Lord, we cry out in the words of David, create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us. Have your way now in the name of Jesus. We commit our way to you, God. We have made a decision to elevate our mind and our bodies. We commit ourselves to you. We belong to you, God. Use us for your glory. Use us to bring light in dark places. Use us to bring joy to those who are in sorrow. Use us to bring comfort to those, oh God, who are in distress. Use us, oh God, to help people find their way to you. We ask that you would do this in the name of Jesus. And we say amen as we offer you our praise, as we give you our celebration. We don't want to make you cry anymore. God, we want you to smile on us. We want you to be pleased with us. We want you to be satisfied with us. So have your way in our lives. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Maybe there's one today that will come and give your life to the Lord. We extend to you this invitation to Christian discipleship, believing that the Lord is calling upon you right now to turn your life around for him. You cannot just keep doing things your way. You got to do things God's way. Amen. And the house of our God is open for you. My sister, my brother, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We praise God for you right now. Hallelujah. We believe God for you right now. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. What a mighty God we serve. Woo, Jesus. Oh, yeah, for us. Somebody say, give thanks. Oh, yeah, yeah. Woo. Is there another who would come to the Lord? Is there another? Won't you come to the Lord our God? Won't you make him first in your life? Won't you break every shackle? Come on, you can do it. You can do it. You can do it. Don't allow the Lord to destroy your mind. Don't allow the Lord to steal your joy. With all that's going on in the world, you can use all the joy you can get. Don't let people steal your joy. Don't let nobody steal your peace. You are a temple. You are a temple. That means you are a change agent. When you walk in the room, everything that's not like God ought to just start running out. Come on, let's give God some praise. Hallelujah. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. We want to hear from our clerk at this time. And when your name is called, we're going to ask that you would stand. Amen. We have Sister Jonah Mann Williams coming. Amen. On her Christian experience. Amen. Oh, y'all could do better than that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Right. Evangelist Layla. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. That's one of her friends. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Amen, amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Praise God, amen. God bless you. My sister, we want to, first of all, say thanks to the Lord for you. We realize how much courage it takes to stand up and come to the front and everybody sees you. It takes courage. And we thank God that you have such a friendship that you felt compelled to come to be a part of this church family. So first thing we want to do is welcome you to your church family. Amen. Amen. The process of membership is really simple. Amen. You'll have a class, and in that class you'll learn what's expected of you and what you can expect from your church. But what we do ask of you even now is that you engage in ministry, that you be a part of the church family. Because when you're not engaged, you become so disengaged that you become disconnected, that you eventually become distant. But when you put your hands to the work of God, when we're doing kingdom building, when we're helping others find their way to Christ, you'll know your purpose and you'll feel the passion and the power of God working through you. So we're going to pray for you and we're going to pray with you. But more importantly, we want you to know you are home and you are welcome. Amen. 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 Let us pray. We want to pray for her. Amen. That's it. Take her hand. Amen. God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this young woman, oh God, who has come to be planted in this vineyard. We recognize, God, she comes with experience. And some of those experiences are good and others, oh God, are heartbreaking. But God, you can use all of it, oh God, in the fullness of your power, to make her a mighty vessel for you. So in the name of Jesus, shape and mold this vessel. Use her, oh God, to be a house of prayer. Use her, oh God, to be a house of healing. Use her, oh God, to be a house of praise. Use her, oh God, to be a house of instruction, so that all who come around her, oh God, will know that she walks with you. Bless her family. Bless everyone connected to her. Bless those, oh God, she works around and serves around and even has recreation around. God, let a light shine so bright in her that others will say, I want what you have, and she'll be able to point them to Jesus. God, we ask for protection over her life, protection over her body, protection over her mind, protection over her soul. Cover her from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. God, we ask that you would now open doors that you've been holding closed until this moment of planting. God, we pray that you give a direction and instruction. And when she calls on your name, God, please answer her. Answer her in a way that she knows that you are right there by her side. Now, we rebuke the enemy. We know he's going to speak to her. We know he's going to come for her. But in the name of Jesus, we plead the blood over her life. He cannot have her. He cannot influence her. He cannot persuade her. He cannot distract her. He cannot discourage her. In the name of Jesus, we say thank you and amen. Now we want you to repeat after me. Lord, I come just as I am. I give you my heart. I give you my body. I give you my mind. I give you my soul. Make me a temple. Make me your temple. And I'll give you my life, all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, my sister. Thank you so much. God bless you. Amen. Come on, let's show our sister some love. We are going to ask God to bless the palms, and then we're going to have our benediction. Amen. We ask that after the benediction, the palms will be at the door. We ask that we would be mindful as we are taking them. Let's remind our children they're not for sword fighting. People wave them, they acknowledge Jesus as their king. When we take these psalms, they are consecrated, amen, as a part of our worship expression, as a part of our faith that Jesus is our king, amen. And not only is he our king, he's our soon coming king. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Lord our God, we thank you now for these palms, oh God, which have been secured and purchased and separated, oh God, that we might receive them on this Palm Sunday in remembrance of Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. We remember them, O God, as being waved according in Scripture in celebration of Jesus as the King. So today as we partake of them, God, we take them as an acknowledgement of our faith that Jesus is the King. Not just the King, but the King of Kings. So God, consecrate them now for our use. Bless those who will take of them and keep them, O God, as a reminder of their commitment and their faith in you. Now may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ, may the love of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide henceforth, now, and forever. Let all of God's children say amen, amen, and amen. God bless you. May heaven continue to smile upon you.